I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
One of the things Albert had to say, because there was pretty strong indication about maybe where Kevin Stefanski is with the Cleveland Browns, which kind of fits into all the other things we've heard. I don't know what more you needed to hear from Albert, but we'll try and get a little bit into that. If we don't, we'll certainly start tomorrow with it as well. But the Browns played well-ish enough to win, competitive on Sunday, but they did take yet another loss. And in about a week's time, our next guest, there's going to be burgers.
What's the date on the burgers?
I believe it's Monday. Could be Monday or Tuesday. Now I'm going to try and I think it's Monday.
Can someone text me ahead of time and be like, hey, don't bring lunch today?
Probably. I'm not going to remember.
Coach will text me. He'll text me.
You know what? The problem is, well, he'll group text us.
Yeah, he's good.
That's what's going to happen. Now, there will be burgers because of a burger bet we had between each other. But this man knows football. He joins us every single Tuesday at 6. He's also not just a football guy. He's a hell of a guy, mm-hmm. hell of a human being. Some are saying the best guy. Lance Reisland,
so.
Coach Riz on the Fan Hotline. Coach, welcome to the show.
Hey, good evening, guys. What's going on?
Well, I started gloating about the whole winning the burger bet thing, and then I started feeling bad. That's
a sign that you're a really good dude. My man. It's well earned.
I don't think I can. No. By the way, JP, real quick, what did you want me to jam him up on?
Oh, no, man. You should have told me this like an hour ago that you were going to tell. I totally forgot. I think I got it. Did we get it at the same time? Is that what just happened there?
So, Coach.
We got it at the same time.
All right, no, reset it for me because I'm losing it now.
Okay, well, you guys have a disagreement on how Stefanski handled the two-point conversion and the conversation afterwards, whereas Coach thought that showed a lot of accountability from Stefanski to basically fall on the sword. And where Coach is coming from here is that he hated Bubba Ventrone's answer from earlier last week and thought that basically Bubba had bus-tossed everybody and that's not how coaches should be. You like that Stefanski fell on the sword. Nick, though, did not appreciate that approach and thought it should have gone a different direction. All right, go.
All right. So I think, Coach, he used, hey, it's on me, it's my job, as a deflection of the real question, which is why wasn't Shador on the field? He reframed the question to be about the two-point conversion itself, meaning who called the play, rather than the most important part is why don't you think Shador should have been on the field for that?
Well, I'll say this. They had, so first and foremost, the two-point play, the non-kicking of the first one, I'm not really a big believer in that. I'm old school. You know, I don't like to take the gloves off my guys, so let them fight it out. And when you do that as a coach, my dad always taught me, let the guys play. So that was the first thing. I didn't like that. However, the two-point play, I have a much different version than everybody else. I actually think the two-point play shows a little bit of coaching from Stefanski. Now people are about to lose their mind, but let me explain. So they have had tremendous success with the Wildcat and the things they've done out of the Wildcat, but they haven't done much besides fake the jet sweep and run power or run that little duo where Junkins runs to his left. That's kind of what they've done over the last 4 or 5 weeks. Now, as a coach, you go in, and the first thing I will say is those two-point plays are in on Monday of that week. Those guys are doing that Monday and Tuesday. That's their plan. Now, the problem is with coaches, and some of the issues with coaches is that they're based on numbers, especially nowadays, numbers and analytics more than they are on feel. And I always feel like the best coaches have a combination of both. So what ends up happening is they work on those two-point plays all week. Now, for me, I'm all about that. It showed me that they prepared. That was their option off of what they've been doing very well. They self-scouted. They did a very good job. They executed like crap. There's no doubt about that. That I will say. The problem is for me is with feel, it goes back to, like, I always use this example of Cooper Kupp and Stafford in the Super Bowl. You knew where he's getting it, and it didn't matter what the play call was. He was throwing it to Cooper Kupp. And when you have a quarterback who's cooking, if you have a quarterback who's on fire and you have a tight end who's a really tough cover for the opponent, sometimes you got to go off script. Sometimes you got to go off script and say, you know what, I'm giving it to my guys who are playing right now. That's very hard for Kevin Stefanski. That's very hard for these NFL coaches, not just him, because they stick to the situational plan. Third down, it's the left hash, it's the third quarter, et cetera, et cetera. It's just really hard. But the play call, I didn't mind the play call, and I didn't think the play call was cute. If they practice it, trick plays aren't trick plays if you practice them. They're plays. And so it was the execution, and it was the idea if you took the ball out. But I don't think they really took it out of his hand saying, you can't do it. It was more of, this is what we said we're doing on Monday.
What other starting quarterback NFL would they have pulled off the field for a wildcat formation?
Once again, I'm talking about what the Browns have done. So I don't think any, and I don't think the Browns would do that now. But I think Shador has showed enough going into this game where they wanted to take some things off his plate. And I will tell you, when you hold the ball, I think that was one of his issues. And even though he's doing fantastic, and I have nothing but positive to say about him this game, down in that red zone, down in that 2-point area, it's a really tight window in there. And you hold on the ball, you know, maybe. And once again, you overthink it as coaches, but I'm not comparing it to everybody else because I agree with you. Most people don't do that, but they've had success. And when Fanning went under center last week, people said, hey, they got to get in that wildcat. They've had success with that and all those kind of things. So once again, the call was, it is what it is. I thought the idea of what they were trying to do, I liked. The execution was poor, and you didn't take into account that your quarterback, who was cooking, and a tight end they couldn't cover, you didn't let them make the play. You didn't let them win or lose it for you. That would be my thought on the 2-point play.
Okay, again, great thought, but you guys didn't address what the real fight was, which is how Stefanski handled the post game commentary.
All right, so what didn't you got? Because he said
used Tommy. I'm not going to throw Tommy Rees under the bus. Instead of answering the damn question, why don't you trust Shador, or why did you think it was smart to pull the quarterback off the field at that point?
See, I don't think it was trust. I really don't. And I know it looks like that, and it may have been, but for me, it's not trust. I think of it as, hey, this is what we've done in the red zone. And all these coaches, like I said, that sheet they're looking at, second down, third down, 2-point plays go in all year. 2-point plays go in, and 2-point plays are built off what you've had success with down in that area. So that's kind of where they went with that. Now, I don't think it had anything to do with taking Shador off the field in terms of I don't trust him. The problem is that I have is that, first of all, the execution wasn't very good. Secondly, I just didn't like the fact that they took the ball out of the guy who was cooking at that time. Now, in terms of what Stefanski said, I make the calls. That's exactly what a coach does. That's exactly what a head coach does. Me and JP were talking about it on Sunday. That's exactly whether it's your fault, whether you have no idea, that's why you get paid the big money. That's why you're in charge. It all rolls downhill into your mouth, and that's what I like about Stefanski.
Just not like those anybody, burgers, coach.
You know, he didn't throw anybody else under the bus. You know, it was all on him, and I know people don't like his responses, but the response that Bubba gave the week before, that hit a nerve for me, because there's kind of a, listen, we all have issues within a staff when we're coaching, but we all got to be on the same page. Enough people don't like you when you're a coach. Enough people question what you do. We have to be on the same page, and as the head coach, you take it for everyone. That's why you're in that seat.
All right, Coach, what was your evaluation of what was you've been critical over the past couple weeks. It was a big day for Shador. In particular, I would imagine you liked the cleaned up, footwork, but what did you see that you liked? What did you see that can stay?
Oh, I tell you what, his footwork, credit to him and credit to Coach Stefanski and Tommy Rees, because they're all a part of it. They're all a part of when things go wrong, but they're also part of when things go right. So I thought Shador was absolutely outstanding. I thought his footwork, the things he struggled with, couple of the plays that he made, obviously the touchdown, but, you know, a couple of the checkdowns that he made, a couple of the throwaways that you could see him working on. The footwork on the touchdown pass to Judy, absolutely stunning. The ball to Njoku, absolutely outstanding. But what I like was his poise, his tempo, his rhythm. You and I talked about on Sunday. When you see him when he's in rhythm and he's not dancing around and stopping, starting, how successful he can be. I also like the fact that he is taking ownership of kind of everything that's happening. And when they were down, everybody, the game was over. It wasn't over for him. And that's what kind of like quarterbacks like him, they do. They kind of lift their teammates. So I have been very critical. And I like to say critical in terms of just being honest, but I thought he was outstanding. And the things that he's working on and needs work on, he's cleaning that up in just a short period of time. It hasn't been 3 weeks. This is 2 or 3 days. This has been about 9 days of actually working on the field, because that's what you have in football. You have 2 or 3 work days a week. So he has been very impressive in what he's done. And obviously, if you're a Browns fan, if you're a football guy and you like football, you got to say the kid did fantastic. That was an outstanding performance by him.
All right, Coach, what's going on with the defense?
All right, so I worked a lot on that today in terms of what happened. Well, the Browns lost the edge. And what I mean by that is that out by the tight end, that 6-8 hole, we like to say, where the tight end is. And here's what the Titans had a great plan. They either put 2 tight ends, so they had 4 guys over there, and Miles was lining up on the 3rd guy, and they were just blocking him down. Now, when you block him down, that means you don't have a guy outside, so your edge has to be set by a linebacker, which is really hard to do. That's the first thing they did. So they just outflanked the Browns. Next thing they did was, when they had a 2-man side, they let Miles rush up the field because they said, we can't block this guy normal, so we're going to let him rush up field. So they ran where they almost pass set him and then ran a wide zone with everybody else and let the tackle just kind of ride him out. Super innovative by the offensive coordinator. Defensive tackles did not play very well. Michael Hall does not play the run very well. That was the other issue of it. You know, he jumping in gaps. You have to be, as a defensive tackle, you got to kind of be boring and take up blockers. He didn't do a very good job of that. And then when you don't set the edge, those linebackers who are always so good, they move forward first. And if you don't set the edge, they have too far to go when you get to the outside, and then they get cutbacks and all that kind of stuff. So it was, they lost the edge. Generic thing is they lost the edge. But there was a bunch of reasons for it, including a really good game plan. Now, for me, what does Schwartz do this week? Because this is a copycat league, so the Bears are going to do a lot of the same things this week. What is his answer to, you know, to something that's really kind of tough in this defense? If you don't set the edge, you're in trouble.
I just think the Malik Collins injury was so much. We didn't talk enough about it, Coach.
Oh, you know what? You're absolutely right. And when you see it inside, so especially when they go to the outside and they cut it back in, the reason that Schlesinger and Bush and these guys can make those tackles is because Malik Collins is kind of occupying the guards in the centers, and when you're the guard in the center. And when that happens, you let those guys run free. But if you don't do your job and kind of, you know, that goes back to what we were talking about with Mason Graham. A lot of time what Mason Graham does, for example, on the sack, he had that sack for Miles because he took 2. And that's the same thing in the run game. He has to, those defensive tackles, they got to kind of be boring sometimes, and they just got to eat blockers. And when you don't, you see what happens. And I agree with you. The loss of Malik Collins was absolutely huge. But, like, Shelby Harris didn't play like he normally does. He's usually pretty good against the run. He wasn't very good. Michael Hall has never been good against the run, so he's got to work on that. And then, obviously, they did some cool things against Miles that they're going to have to adjust to.
Coach, great stuff, buddy. Appreciate you. All in good fun. You the man.
Oh, absolutely. Hey, the 22nd is the time. 22nd, burgers are coming. Well earned. I'm looking forward to it. I will send the link soon, and you guys can get your order ready.
Oh, look at that.
Oh, it's a customizer order. Yeah. We're not just getting like a random
extra bacon, double cheese,
37 patties.
I'm not that kind of guy.
Stack it to the moon, Coach.
36. 36. Maybe 6-7. Coach, you're great, buddy. Appreciate you.
Absolutely. We'll see you guys soon. JPC Sunday, buddy.
He really wanted to hop in on that 6-7 action.
He likes it. It's one of his favorite things.
No, that's why. Like, that's Coach and I are simpatico with that. When people our age are like, oh, I'm like, guys, we had stuff like that too. It's just kids being kids, having fun.
That's all.
Like, a lot of things that our generation did that they don't do, and they might actually be ahead of us in life. It's good. I need more of an endorsement on 6-7 from you.
I don't know that I have it. I'm not out on 6-7. Okay, no, that's it. I'm out on 6-7.
Yeah,
I've been for a while. For being honest about it, I've been for a while.
We'll react to Coach and what he had to say in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. Big Weege overtime with Jake Volnick coming up later on tonight as well. But we had Albert Breer on at 5:20. And one of the things we asked him about was, you know, there have been a couple reports about Kevin Stefanski and, you know, the idea that he could get higher right away if the Browns fired him. He'd be a, what was it, prime candidate if the Browns fired him. And we followed up on Albert talking on his own podcast, the MMQB podcast, that maybe Kevin feels like things have run their course. JP asked short, sweet, and to-the-point question just on that. Has maybe Kevin Stefanski feel like he may rather not be here anymore? Here's what Albert had to say.
I think he likes the people that he works with. I think, this is just my opinion, I think he likes working with the Haslams. I think he's got a good working relationship with them. I think, you know, obviously he and Andrew Berry have a good rapport. I just think so much has happened in the last 6 years. I think it is fair to ask that question, is like, is this the right mix to go forward with? Based on like the history that everybody has together, the chance that core of players had of really competing at the highest level was completely undermined, right? So that's your history right now. So how do you come out of that? But that doesn't mean like the people can't work together, there aren't good people. But I think when that's your history, your working history with someone, like, it can be a little bit difficult to come out of that. So I think that's something that everybody's going to have to evaluate at the end of the year.
So pretty much confirms everything that we've heard, that it does sound like Kevin just would, if there was a fresh start opportunity, Kevin would welcome it.
Well, it's what is interesting out of that to me is the idea that it's just been too much failure to possibly, in that building, maybe almost have faith that the other person could trust each other and that the collaborative effort could make its way. Oh, what are you doing over there?
Trying to
I never get thrown off. I got very thrown off there.
Sorry.
You went to like every pocket like 6 times.
Sorry, I was looking for something.
But then I didn't know if it was like looking for something in your pocket.
Yeah, I was.
Or if like, if
I was.
Like
was you got
the,
me busted.
Was the
I was,
chair breaking?
I totally,
or I didn't know what
totally
was happening.
Just ADHD'd out. And I was listening. I promise I was listening. I just was fidgeting.
But it was like a I'm doing the motion, which is awful for radio right now, but it was so I was genuinely worried you just
so these things
lost something.
These nail clippers I have were stabbing me.
Nail clippers?
And they were stabbing me in the side.
But you were moving like you were being stabbed.
Yes.
But then you couldn't convince yourself which side was actually being stabbed.
No. I was trying to move my pants around.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
And you just didn't see the other hand. So it was very embarrassing.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry you got embarrassed.
No. I totally, it took me out of my element. I deserve to be called out on it. So Kevin Stefanski, huh?
Yeah, let's get back to Stefanski.
Clip these nails here.
You're going to clip them now. Okay. Yeah, it's good. Yeah. I almost asked, like, oh,
I don't know what the hell that is.
Throw those over here. But then I was like, that's a weird thing to
just
share.
Also realize there's some leftover popcorn from Andy and Jeff earlier today that somehow has stayed in the middle of the desk.
You can't just toss.
You just went so high.
You threw it behind
you
yourself.
You went Mickey Mouse there.
You threw it behind yourself like you're making a wish.
Yeah, I did. I wished it was out of my damn face.
In the Ken Carmen studio, we don't do that around here.
I think we do.
I
I'll pick it up later.
He's just out here littering. Maybe. Left and right. I don't know.
That's not littering if you're private.
I mean, it was the trash can's right there.
I thought I was going to make it.
It couldn't be.
I misjudged the weight.
That was not an attempt at the trash can.
I misjudged the weight.
That was not an attempt at the trash can.
I didn't even look at the trash can.
Because I know where it is.
I know it's back there until I said it.
I absolutely do. I was Mr. Perfecting it.
You're not even aiming towards it right now.
You don't know that.
Yes, I do. I'm looking at where you're aiming, and I'm looking at where
Let me adjust to where I was.
Yeah, there we go. That would have been better. The no look.
Yeah, that's what I was going
you
for.
You just tossed that without a care in the world. Some janitor's going to clean this up, not me. Boom. Oh, please, are you cutting your nails down?
Kevin Stefanski, huh?
Stefanski's cooked. I mean, there's no other way around it. The man is cooked.
I just think what's funny about it is I continue to come back to, it's tough for me to believe. I buy that there's been too much failure. I do. It's been too much failure for me to keep watching Kevin Stefanski be my head coach. I get that, right? I just think the idea that Kevin, who knows how precious these jobs are, how few and far between.
Yeah.
How he still, because the risk here is, okay, sure, everyone thinks he might get the head coaching job. Sure. And if he doesn't, okay, then you start the waiting. So the idea that you would leave a sure thing, or that you'd be more inclined to leave a sure thing than try and, I don't know, sustain a rebuild is wild to me.
Well, isn't this the time where he's basically, what he's doing is putting himself out there to see if the sure thing can basically materialize before he actually does get fired?
Oh, no, I think that's fair.
Like, this is the big grandstand. This is, hey, so those Giants rumors, what are the Giants actually saying about me? Let's see. Do Titans host, they really think that there'd be dancing in the street if Tennessee hired me? What is Tennessee? This is all one big theater play. And again, it's probably why he's checked out during these games, or at least seems like he's checked out during these games, because he's too busy trying to go ahead and jockey for another job at this point.
I think I was actually texting Albert with this after our interview, just making sure we were cool, and wanted to make sure I didn't go too far. I thought we were fine, but you never know. And I was texting him, and I said something equivalent to, between Shador and Stefanski's future, this is as interesting as the Browns have been in a lost season, where it isn't just everyone's for sure fired.
Well, yeah.
Because there's, will Stefanski leave you? Will you fire him? Will you fire Andrew Berry? Those are all still questions.
But this is our payoff in many respects for the idea that for the Joe Flacco and Dylan Gabriel time, it felt like we were pulling teeth out there.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is almost, if you're ever going to have an interesting part of the season, the Shador looking great part of this, this is the reward for going through all those miserable weeks of having to try to get excited for a Joe Flacco or Dylan Gabriel game. This is the reward of that. And now what happens with Stefanski, some people look at getting a new coach as if it's an exhausting thing or a bad thing. I don't. I look at it as a promising thing. So I get excited at the prospect of having somebody new and finding out their quirks and their tendencies and figuring that out instead of just running it back with the same thing we've been doing for 6 years.
Yeah, and I look at this and I go, it, like, where I struggle with all of this is with Kevin specifically. It just feels like you need to make some sort of change, but knowing that on the other side of that is an entirety of 6 years wasted. Like, I don't know. I just can't get over how the Browns, where these guys, the entry point for both of these guys, and it wasn't a perfect roster. They needed to rebuild the tackle position, certainly. They did have some holes in the defense. Like, they did not walk into a completely furnished room, but more furnished than anybody. And to kind of see how the vibe around football is still so pro Kevin Stefanski, just boggles my mind. It really does.
Yeah, but there is a little bit of a conclusion to this, and maybe that's the part that you're talking about right now. Like, the idea that if you do fire him, that it is, there's no debates, there's no discussion, and that is a closed chapter on Stefanski, which, by the way, I'm excited about that prospect. I am. I don't look at it as a bad thing, but I guess it is a, it's just a swift reminder of the past 6 years not paying off the way that we once thought it would.
Yeah, and I guess maybe that's where it's like, I think Kevin deserves to be fired. It's two straight three win seasons. He waited till year three to build an offense around Deshaun. By that point, it was too late. Deshaun was too physically broken, coming off the shoulder injury into the Achilles injury. He hired the wrong offensive coordinator in Ken Dorsey instead of just basically hiring the equivalent of Jim Schwartz. I think Kevin could have stopped Baker from being, you know, annexed away from Berea. He didn't. Like, there's so many things that I think, well, this is fair. This is a but the idea that the guys who were the guys who came up with the Deshaun trade still being here still also baffles me to some degree.
Okay, so the idea that Andrew Berry still exists. Yeah, because I'm ready for a brand new Browns in general. It feels like a jacket we've just been wearing for a little bit too long. Let's get something new. I want a new identity. I want it, when I think about this team, I want to think about them in a different way than I currently think about them. And with Andrew Berry here, that part doesn't go away. We'll still make jokes about analytics. We'll still make jokes about the thought partners. We'll still make jokes about a lot of the same things that have bothered us over the previous few years.
Now, are you comfortable with the risk that this means for Shador?
I mean, yeah, definitely. Yeah, because I told you yesterday, if I say it once, I'll say it a million times until the rest of the season. Shador's doing this in spite of them. I really don't think that there's any part of them that deserves a multitude of credit attached to what Shador is doing. I think Shador is doing this in spite of him, and I think if I was Shador, I'd be open arms, ready for the idea that it'd be somebody else that is taking the reins.
Well, but you could get a new head coach in here, and he could think less of Shador than Stefanski did.
Yeah, and Shador would just have to go out there and prove it in the same way he had to try to prove to Stefanski. And if it doesn't work out that way, again, that's the roll of the dice. You already got a guy in Stefanski that doesn't believe in him as is. It's not as if, like, Stefanski's knocking down.
It could get worse, though. It could get, like, you could have a guy that decides he just doesn't want Shador here because of the noise. Like, that's the prevalent thing.
Well, but the next four games is the job for Shador right now is the next four games is to make that conversation irrefutable. So to make that conversation for the next head coach not even be a question mark to them. They're taking the job with the idea that Shador is a part of those plans.
Is Stefanski going to back that up? Is Haslam going to back that up?
I would think so. I would hope so. I guess we don't have too much of the inner workings of Haslam and how he thinks about the Shador experience, but we do know he seemed pretty open to, you know, making it seem nice with Deion, if that means anything.
So this is less keep Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry. It's not that. It is that when new regimes come in, especially if it's head coach and GM,
yeah, and this is anywhere
there's
in life.
A lot of turnover that just naturally happens.
Yes.
And with that, there's just nobody safe, including Myles Garrett, by the way. So I just think, like, I think from that standpoint, that's where I think it's going to be really interesting just to see. Is there, because I actually think there are head coaches going to come in and look at Shador and go, I love this kid's attitude, and let's build an offense that suits him instead of fitting him into ours, instead of our offense, right?
Yeah, sure.
But I don't know that's a given. And I think that's just...
It's a roll of the dice I'm willing to take, let's put it that way.
Now
I feel like I said that with such authority or something, I'm ready to roll the...
I looked at
the,
you...
Get the craps table
and there's
out
somebody
something?
On the 92.3 The Fan YouTube channel that said, JP, don't drop the soap. And I don't know if that's a callback to our...
So like late 240 segment?
I think so. I don't know. Or maybe they just don't want you to drop the soap.
Well, I think that's good life advice.
Yeah.
You know,
you never... gotta pick it up. Your feet get all slippery.
Yeah, you know, I have such a tiny shower, by the way.
Not
really even a problem for me if I were to, in fact, do that.
Because there really just couldn't be somebody else in there?
No, it's a tiny very tiny shower.
No.
Very shockingly tiny shower that I have. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think that's what he's referencing.
I don't either. No, I don't.
No, I don't. I think he's referencing the 240 segment.
I think he is.
Where you decided that at 6'2", 230, I guess I'm meat.
It was 6'2", 215 earlier today.
I looked at the scale earlier today.
He added 15 pounds.
I looked at the scale earlier today. Definitely didn't say 215. We wished it said 215. It does not say 215.
I think it's more about your
6'2", 230.
Your personality that would make you.
I get treated like I'm 5'7 and 140. Meanwhile, Jax comes in the room and you're like, now that's a guy that could handle prison. Jax is like legitimately 5'7", 150.
He's got
5'7".
He's such
What are you, 5'9?
No, 5'10 and a half.
Like,
he's counting the half on the 5'10. I don't
days,
even know about
he'd
that.
He'd have to fend off some suitors.
Right, but you do see.
That is fair.
You do see how that it appears to myself.
He would win people over, not like, with favors,
like,
but
hey,
with his
hey,
personality.
Jonathan, how would you do in prison at 6'2", 230? And you're like, whoa, you'd be passed around, buddy. Meanwhile, Jax walks in the room and it's like, no, that guy.
I do get along with
everybody. You're running the prison system at the end of this whole thing.
I think you might be a little more stuffy. It's there's an approachability stuff. Just in prison. And I think people might more want to attack you, whereas Jax is so low-key. They're like, I'm going to get him one day, and then they don't because they're like, yeah, I can't. He's Jax. And then all of a sudden, he's the go-between between all the gangs in prison.
I'll protect you, JP.
I mean, I'm friends with everybody. I don't know what to tell you. I have friends in all sorts of shapes, sizes, colors, everything.
Not in prison. You're going to have to fight your way.
I kind of want to be like, I always envision prison me as like a kingmaker of sorts.
I bet you do.
I'm not even Shawshank in this. I'm just out here calling shots from my little ivory tower over there. You do my bidding. You finish that out. I got some ramen for you on the side, though.
I think you're going to be making it with a king. That's how it's going to be.
Easy now.
I didn't say I'm running the best gang in prison, okay? I didn't say that. I didn't say we're not the best one. We're not top dog. But for what we are, we do good work. We're respected.
I bet you do.
We're respected.
Respect is an interesting word for it.
And well, it's hard to get respect in prison.
That's true. You're going to outfreak this for you. You got to earn it.
Only way I'm going to prison is for like a white collar crime to begin with anyway. So like, but you got to think about that too. I'm not going to get sent to one of these prisons where it's anything but basically a country club.
Good thing.
You know, the ones that are in like upstate New York where it's like they like let you actually play golf during your prison sentence.
Yeah.
They have like tennis courts and everything. Those are the prisons I'll get sent to.
Sure.
I'm not getting sent to a real one.
Sure. Yeah, that's what you want to believe, and I believe
you.
That is
what I believe.
I believe in you.
Yeah, I'll be protected.
In case we missed it in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.